I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevieve. A new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Dave and Dujanovic have inside sources.
Dave, I've been wanting to know all morning long how President Trump did in the primaries.
Was he running?
He might as well have been.
I've heard his name more than anyone else. You'd think the guy is like both the Secretary of State in Georgia and also running for Senator in Pennsylvania.
Boyd Matheson of Inside Sources, thankfully you've been out in the newsroom tracking the results from overnight. How did President Trump do yesterday?
Well, again, you both have to remember, I don't believe in endorsements. I don't think they move needles. And this is exhibit A, B, C, D, E, and F, which is the grade for the former president in his endorsements in Georgia. It was not a good day for if that's how you're going to keep score, again, I believe it's about the candidate, about their vision, and about how they connect to voters. Are they doing the hard work and heavy lifting? And so it shows that this idea of the kingmaker of President Trump just really is not a thing. He still doesn't have candidates that are reaching past 31-32% of the Republican primary voters. So really rough night starting right at the top of the ticket there in Georgia. I said that Purdue was going to lose by at least 24 points. He lost by 52 points. I mean, it was a blowout of blowout, and that was just the beginning of the night.
And he was endorsed by President Trump.
Correct. That is correct. So the
I'm on Team Boyd. You pulled me over to Team Boyd on the endorsement thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And remember, the governor, that was a big deal. Georgia was that battleground. A lot of contested votes. President Trump, you know, really tried to weigh in and get them to do some things in terms of recounts and so on. And the governor said no. And the Secretary of State of the state of Georgia, who's in charge of their elections, said no. And stood their ground in terms of what their constitutional duty was. And so President Trump went after both of them with primary challengers and lost both of those. Most people had given up the Secretary of State of Georgia for dead in a reelect. And he won the primary last night.
Well, I think one of the things that we just hate, people in general hate pettiness. And there's no question that the Secretary of State was a petty move. You know, when President Trump said, hey, I need you to find me 11,000 something votes. I mean, everybody acknowledged that was clearly wrong and caught up in the moment, make whatever excuse you wanted. But then to go after and try to get him unseated, that's petty. And I think we don't like petty.
And Dave, he stood up to President Trump.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He stood up to him. So
yeah,
when
and
is,
remember,
yeah.
The former president went to Georgia. He's been campaigning actively, having big rallies in the state of Georgia right up to Election Day. So he was very heavily invested, very heavily weighing in on those races. And just the only person that he endorsed, there are a few that did win in Georgia that were endorsed by the president, but neither of them really needed the president's endorsement. Herschel Walker was going to win big anyway. He didn't really need President Trump's endorsement, and so he won big. But again, that's sort of
he has every football fan's endorsement, doesn't he?
That's right. That is the ultimate in running to the front of the parade and pretending that you're leading it. And
well, let's switch over to Arkansas. You know, I've had my head in the sand. I didn't even realize that Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who's President Trump's former White House press secretary, She's running for governor of Arkansas.
Yeah, that's right. She's actually been running for quite some time. She started last year, said she was going to do that.
Maybe and, I remember that, but I've forgotten.
Yeah, and of course, her father was the governor from Arkansas, so there's a little family history there. So, but she fared well, so she'll move on to the general election there as well.
But I don't think she's had any experience, right? She's never been elected before, to my knowledge.
That's right. Yeah, she is a first time front and center candidate, and so it's a big jump, but not unprecedented. It happens in a lot of places around the country. You get somebody, you know, a business person or a communications person that can step in that way. And so,
and again, her father was governor. It's not like this is new.
Yeah. So name in terms of name ID and a network of donor base, all of those things are right in alignment for her.
Oh, you know, Boyd Matheson, you hear his show every day right here on KSL News Radio from 1 to 3. And we're fortunate to have him keeping track of all of the national politics and the primary elections going on across the country. I got to double back, triple back to Pennsylvania. Wow, it's just been neck and neck there. I think yesterday, how many votes was it, Dave? It was like less than 1,000, wasn't it, you said?
982, I think, is the last.
Separating Dr. Oz and David McCormick, what do we know about Pennsylvania?
So no real updates there. They're pretty tight-lipped there in Pennsylvania in terms of the vote counting. I think there are still some of the absentee ballots, the early mail-in ballots that are being counted. And then, as we've discussed, there's this large group of 7,000 to 10,000 ballots that had the imprinting wrong, so they couldn't go through the scanner. So they're going through those. And then regardless of what happens with all of those votes that are outstanding, it will go to a recount just because there's no way either of them will be ahead by more than the margin required for a recount in that state.
It's very easy to go scoreboard checking when it comes to the Senate. But I want to come back to the governor's races, because sometimes we forget about them, but the power when there's a bunch of governors of one party or another, that's significant. So let's go back to Georgia. Governor Brian Kemp is going to face Stacey Abrams, who has run in the past, lost, maybe claimed she won. It was kind of a weird little thing. But can we talk about that race a little bit, and then the importance of maybe a party having a lot of governors?
Yeah,
you know, running the state.
Absolutely. And so in Georgia, yeah, Stacey Abrams did officially lose, but she never conceded. So that was one of those before President Trump made contesting the vote popular. Stacey Abrams had already gone down that path. So she lost. It was a very close race, very heated race, and millions upon millions of dollars that were spent in that race. So this is kind of a part two with Kemp and Abrams. She's come under some additional criticism, spends a lot of time in New York, has a lot of things in terms of some funding, has said some uncomplimentary things about the people who live in the state of Georgia.
Said it's the worst state.
The worst state to live in. And so that's going to be an interesting thing.
Endearing.
Well, maybe some people agree with that, though.
That's true. That's true.
You know, maybe some people agree with that. Yeah. Some people, I mean, I'm certain some people who live in Utah think it's the worst place on earth. I don't happen to think that way, but there are some people who are disgruntled who live in all states.
Yeah. And Debbie, you just actually hit something that is probably the most fascinating thing of this year's election cycle. And that is both on the left and on the right are going to this grievance message. It's a populist message. It's what President Trump won on. Yeah. It's what Democrats have won on for a number of years. And now you've got both sides racing to the populist mantle of, yeah, we know your life stinks, and I'm the one who's going to save you from it. And so now you suddenly have this wraparound vote that is really interesting. And it really goes back to, you know, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. And both political parties are playing it.
Well, look, I'm not telling people how to do political ads, but you get on the air and you start saying, like, look, have you gone to the gas pump lately? Have you gone to the grocery store lately? What do you think about the price of eggs being $2.99 a dozen? Immediately, I'm screaming at the radio. And so I can imagine that this message could resonate with a lot of folks.
Yeah, no question. And so both sides are kind of playing to that. And there's a lot of finger pointing and placing blame as to who's responsible for what. And so that kind of gets it all there. But I'm telling you, when we come November, it will be those that are able to pivot to here's where we are. And yeah, it may be tough. And those things are challenges for sure. Acknowledge that. And here's my vision of what we're going to do.
Here's how I'm going to lead you out of it.
Yeah. People want to be led, and they want to be part of a positive message. And and it's the one thing, actually, in the exit polling from Georgia, that many people were saying, some of them that are big fans of President Trump, and they're tired of that kind of rhetoric. They're tired of that kind of pettiness. They're tired of that game. And so they're ready for something else. And so it always goes back to, in politics, not about what was, not about what is. It's always about what next. Who makes that case wins it in the end.
Boyd Matheson, thank you. And building on that, for another day, I want to know if this resounding defeat, or the fact that we've seen that the endorsement, the Trump endorsement, did not carry the weight that we expected, does that hurt his chances if he does decide to run against Joe Biden in a couple years? Boyd Matheson, thank you so much. Inside Sources from 1 to 3.
Straight ahead, we're going to talk about the Safe UT app. I absolutely think that this is the best app you and your kids can have on your phones. We're going to get a representative from Safe UT on the line to tell us all about how it can help students be safe at school and anonymously report any threats or issues at school.
Dave and Dujanovic.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.